Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to say a few things. One, I don't know about restrictions and stuff like that, so I'll keep you posted as soon as I find out if we can go ahead with these shows that are happening around the country and even in Melbourne. One show I do know that is absolutely going ahead though is the August 4 one at Stupid Old Studios, the filming of Talks. So if you want to come and see a show that I put in so much effort into and I'm really, really proud of it, that's why I'm filming it, come along August 4 at Superdoll Studios in Brunswick at 8 o'clock. So it's a Wednesday night and tickets are at joshearl.com.au. Only $12, so I'd love a full audience so it sounds and looks really good on the recording. Also, thanks everyone who's been Patreon subscribing. Numbers are going up, so my plan is I want 500 subscribers before the end of the year. We're ticking along. Every week you'll get a brand new episode of Top 5. This week's one with Jackson Bailey, we're talking about milk, is very, very, very funny. So I'll put a little preview out on Friday of that. So go to patreon.com/dykwia. Help me keep the lights on. Help me keep the podcast ticking along. If you can't do that, go to iTunes, give it 5 stars, Apple Podcasts 5 stars, or just share it along among your friends and work colleagues. You know, got something to talk about. Go, hey, you should listen to this podcast. That's all I need to say. Enjoy this very funny episode with Kirsty Wiebeck, Adam Knox, Dee Fidge, and Michael Schaefer right after this music. Hello, and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week I discovered I share my name with a South Wales junior cricketer who is a bowler, and his best figures in his career are 5-18 at a match he'd played in 2015. Now, I could have been spending the time finding this information with my kids, just so you know, just so your listeners know that, okay?
Hey, if this is your first time... Is that why you would have found the information with them?
Yeah, they could. We could have had a, hey, come on, let's type in Dad's name to Google and see what comes up. A bit of family
time.
How
many Josh Earls are out there? How many episodes? Do you find a different Josh Earl every episode?
I try and find a different one. It's 259 episodes, this one. And I've gone back to a few. There's a really famous, not really famous, but he's won Emmys for editing. He's done all right. And there's a English soccer player who plays in like Division 3 at the minute. But... when he was 20, there was like talk of him maybe making the England squad. But
do you reckon you're the most famous Josh Earl that you've discovered? I mean, this kid taking 5-18.
I know he's pretty good for Wales, but I don't know. There was Josh a time, Earl, Michael, but maybe not now.
Yes. Josh Earl, the editor, even though he's won Emmys, he probably hasn't had as much experience as you, having to do podcasts over Zoom and then cut out people talking over your intro immediately as soon as they think of a mild joke they could tell about something that you said that sounded like it might have meant something else.
Hey, who are those voices? Let's hear them now. Okay, our first guest is the only person in the entire world who has her name. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Kirsty Wiebeck. Yay!
Yay! This is why I can't host it, because each week I'd be like, yep, yeah, there's still no one else called Kirsty Wiebeck.
It might like promote people to have a child and call it Kirsty Wiebeck.
Yes, just me, so they in
get
fact.
Get on the pod.
I'll do it.
All right, great. Hey, also joining us is a man who shares his name with the Senior Sales Development Manager for Danfoss Editron. Now, this is a company that works in marine propulsion, so engines and stuff. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Michael Schaefer.
Wow. Thank you. I didn't think there would be another Michael Schaefer, because the spelling of my name is quite unique when in the Schaefer world.
Well, he goes by Mike Schaefer, but I'm guessing Mike's short for Michael.
Yeah, presumably. Yeah. I hate being called Mike. It makes me feel like a man, and I don't like that.
Oh, I reckon Mike sounds more like a kid's name.
Nicky, oh yeah, Mike. There's one person at work, by the way, at the project who calls me Mike, and it's been 4 years, and I'm yet to have the courage to tell him to cut it out.
Love those kind of confrontations. All right, our next guest. When you type her name into Google, the related searches are Deirdre Fidge age, and Deirdre Animal Crossing. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Deirdre Fidge. Yay.
What's the Animal Crossing situation?
I don't know. I don't know if it's my Google because my kids are obsessed with Animal Crossing.
They're obsessed
at the minute.
With me. They're constantly Googling me. And
my wife is obsessed
with
you.
Love that, lady.
For a second, I thought they meant people were looking for you as like an animorph.
Like, oh, that'd be sick. Yeah, nice. Those are my fans. Just one freak.
How old is she? Does she want to play Animal Crossing with me? What age?
Josh's kids. That's how they sound. Yeah.
And finally is a man who shares his name with an ex-pro surfer. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Adam Knox.
This is me finding out that he quit the world of surfing. Oh. I knew that there was a surfer, but I didn't realize he'd stopped.
Yeah, he stopped.
I don't know if I've said this before, but he's the reason I don't have a website. Because he's got adamknox.com and it's for the entire time I've wanted to have a website, it's just been one of those little, you know, those old gifs of like a digger getting some dirt out of the ground and it says under construction.
You couldn't go for .com.au or .net?
Yeah.
No.
.gov?
No.
.gov. Become
I'm
a government
entity. Not a comedy.
Gov. There's nothing else that starts with G-O-V that isn't the word government.
What about, yeah, like Schaefer said, adamknoxcomedy.com.
A lot of people do that.
But I can't promise that I'll always do that. What if I want to move into
Adam
the world
Knox.
Of surfing?
Well, buy them both, Adam Knox Comedy and Adam Knox Surfing.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like,
just every
have
different
them both
job.
Up your sleeve.
Adam Knox Dish Cleaner.
Now, we're recording this at Wednesday at 2 o'clock. It's currently 2:11 on a Wednesday. We've just been told that we're coming out of lockdown. But not really going much out of lockdown. We can't have people around to our house. We can only go 25K out of our area, and that's about it, really. How are you feeling? Week two of lockdown.
Great, man. I want to go to Craigieburn. That's so sick that we get to move around again.
I'm also going to Craigieburn.
Yeah, we're going on an adventure together.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for the invite. That's fine.
Do you want to come to Craigieburn, Dee?
Yes, actually.
Oh, sorry, we're not going anymore.
All right, our first game today is called Social Media. Well, I'll read out status updates by the four of you. If you know who wrote these, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You can't lose points if you get it wrong. If you do get it wrong, the person who actually wrote it, they get the point. Now, all of you are on Twitter apart from Adam. Now, Adam, why are you no longer on Twitter?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just didn't really seem for me. Ever since they banned Trump, I wasn't that into it, to be honest.
Good.
Fucking censorship.
You've gone to Parler.
Yeah, I'm on Parler. I'm on... that's the only other one I know of.
Do you know
of.
Trump's actually deleted his blog now because no one was really reading it?
Did he have a blog?
Yeah, I didn't
he had
even
a
know
blog.
He had
yeah, he had a blog on his website. I was there one day for work purposes. You can buy plastic straws, 4 straws for $10 with Trump written on it. And it's people who are like, oh, I like using straws. Fuck people who say you shouldn't use straws. So he's selling plastic straws on his website.
I mean, that's honestly...
Do they have the N-word on them as well?
Yeah, weird merch to like find in a turtle stomach.
That's the most environmentally conscious act he could have done. He's got all of that plastic and ensured it'll never go in the ocean because it'll only be in a warehouse forever.
Yeah. But yeah, he stopped doing his blog because people weren't reading it.
Good I mean, we've people. All been there, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've all... That's the most relatable thing he's ever done. I mean, how many times do you send out a tweet? No likes, I might delete that one.
He put himself out there, you know.
Yeah.
It's vulnerable.
But why are you banned, Adam?
I tweeted at... You've had Greg Larson on the show before, right?
Many times.
I tweeted at him that I was going to hit him with a frying pan. And then I appealed it twice. And I asked him, and he did, like, send a message to Twitter being like, hey, this was in between friends. In their rules, it even has, like, if you tell a friend, oh, you spoiled the show for me, I'm going to kill you. And that's all it was. I said... If you don't delete all of your tweets, I'm going to hit you with a frying pan. You are Tom and I am Jerry. You've been warned. And now I'm not allowed to... I don't have adamknox.com either, so this is the only type of promotion that I ever get.
There you go.
Well, I guess they weren't to know
Becky
that...
Lucas.
Sorry,
I was going to say Becky Lucas should have said that to get back on Twitter. Oh, me and Scott Morrison are actually personal friends, so we joke about chopping each other's heads off all the time. So...
All right, our first question today. Here we go. White men can't jump. Sounds like somebody's never seen an improv group come onto stage.
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
That's got to be Noxy.
That is Adam Knox. Yeah, point there for Mark.
Was it?
Yeah, that was you.
That's funny. I thought it was D.
No, and I and for our international listeners, I said improv, not impro.
Who says impro?
Australians say impro. Every time I was learning improvisation at drama school, it was impro. The V was silent.
Weird Tassie thing, I think.
No, I've heard it over here as well. But then every time I say it on this show, I get people from overseas just going, what the fuck are you saying? Like, it's improv. So there you go.
Great, love that.
Yes, and them. All right, question two. The best gigs are the ones where the MC begins with, could someone please come sit up the front?
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
Is that Kirsty?
No, that is Michael Schaefer. Another point there for Michael.
I remember saying that to her. I think I tweeted that when I was at an open mic. I think pretty sure it was like the Lucky Cock.
That wasn't at the gala?
Yeah, I think it was the Lucky Cock, and I suspect it might have been maybe, you know, Tim Hewitt, who I'm sure you've had on the podcast before, who used to run that gig, just being like, hey, guys, I know you're here for the pizzas, but we've got to do comedy soon. So if anyone can, if the eight people sitting at the back can come at the front, it'll be really fun.
It's the worst move there, too, because you don't want them, you want them sitting up the back where they don't feel like they're going to, like they can, they're close enough to heckle you.
I once did Lucky Cock. I've only ever done it once. But it was such a bad gig that Jack Drews, who was super, super a funny comedian, did a set where I thought at the end of it, that's it. He's going to quit comedy after this. It just, he looked at them all in the eye, like as if to say, you guys deserve nothing and I'm going to go. And wow. Like, it just
like
was,
individually, he went over
looked everyone and stared them all down and just walked off stage. And it was one of the best things. The only thing that got a laugh that night was Jonathan Schuster was on and he played a game called Foreskin or No Foreskin, where he got everyone in the audience to guess whether or not he had a foreskin or not, and then he showed it at the end. And that went off, wow. And everyone else doing material got nothing.
Wow.
It's a good bit, that one. I like that bit.
Yeah.
Schuster stole it off me.
All right. I liked it better when you did it, Kirsty. Yeah. I gotta say.
Yeah, yeah. I used to get a member from the audience to help out, and yeah, it was messy.
Why did people stop going to the Lucky Cock, I wonder?
Yeah.
Kirsty, didn't you do that in the gala? You should have. Yeah. Did you do that on your side's gala?
Definitely.
They cut out Tom Ballard's bit, but they kept that bit, which I thought was the right editorial decision, you know?
Question three. Ordered nachos and it came with a big dollop of mashed pumpkin. Real sicko shit. Won't sleep tonight.
Or Adam.
Yes, Adam.
Kirsty.
No, that's D.
Fuck!
Point there for D.
I'm just going to keep getting Kirsty until it is one. How was the pumpkin nachos, D?
Yeah, it was fucked.
That's bad.
I was so mad. I was like, ooh, a little Friday treat for a little Friday lady. I think I'll do something nice. That's how I talk, by the way, in real life.
Yeah.
And then this pumpkin shit came and I was like, well, this is horrifying and the public need to know about this. So I burned the shop down.
When it first came out, did you think, oh, it's like a big dollop of like cheese, melted cheese?
No, because it was, look, I do know the difference between pumpkin and cheese, Josh.
There goes your idea for a spin-off podcast, Josh. Let's play pumpkin or cheese. All right, another 11-second episode, fine.
It was like also cold.
That's, maybe I feel like a mistake.
I feel like I got pranked like by some sort of cool TikTok youths or something.
Yeah. All right, question four. Just reminded everyone getting their ATAR today that I worked extremely hard in year 12 and did very well, and tonight I'm performing comedy at an open mic to 7 people, so nothing matters.
Kirsty.
Yes, Kirsty.
Schaefer.
You are correct. A point there for Kirsty Wiebeck, yeah.
The one person who would have done well in their ATAR.
Yeah. I was like, well, the rest of us are losers, so who's best?
I reckon D, you
wow,
done
guys,
right
thanks.
Too.
Wow. Yeah.
I did do all right.
Anyway.
I mean, you did all right, but then a couple of years after, you're like, the pumpkin nachos, please.
Yeah, exactly. Real downhill.
So I thought you would have done well, Adam.
Nah.
You're very smart.
Yeah, you're super smart.
Nah, but I think I'm cooler than everything.
Ah.
So I was, yeah, I was like, yeah, man, whatever. What do I need school for? And then I go and I can't even figure out to type in adamknoxcomedy.com instead of just comedy.
Because you did like super well, didn't you, Schaefer? You did like best in the state or like top five or whatever?
Yes, I did. I did. I topped the state back in the day.
Yeah.
I worked very hard and then I did a lot of 2 degrees at university that turned out to be pointless. And now I'm on this podcast. So that has been the journey.
Yeah. And look at that. My nothing and Schaefer's everything. We've ended up in the same place. Same and problem. I've got better headphones on. So who's the.
I should have not tried. I should have. That was the trick.
It's the best. All these people saying they're happy with uni because they got ducks. That's not that good of a prize. You got to look after it. You got to feed it. You got to pluck its feathers.
See, I go back and forth between whether or not I think uni is a good thing. I really enjoyed my time at uni. And I kind of used, I did a performing arts degree and a teaching degree. I kind of used both those things. But I don't think it was worth the amount of money I paid to my uni to get those degrees.
I think everyone has a good time at uni, but like no one really achieves much there.
Yeah.
Also, if you just like keep being a low income earner, you never have to pay your hex debt back, which is like a really cool hack I discovered, and not many people realize this. If you're just poor, like you don't have to pay it back. It's a cool hack.
You can study 50 different degrees but eat noodles, and then technically you were a millionaire because of the amount that you would have had to pay to uni.
Exactly.
I actually did like my last semester over in America on exchange. And then like a couple of months after I got home, I got a letter from American University saying, oh, you owe us like $2,000 because we miscalculated the fees. And then I was like, I'm not, I just didn't pay it. And there's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
It's great.
How about you go to so the if you don't pay, also, that's also university fine. Next time, idiot.
Yeah.
Question five. Toxic positivity is looking in the fridge hoping there's better shit in there than 20 minutes ago.
D.
Yes, D.
Was that Kirsty?
That was Kirsty. Adam, you missed out there. That was Kirsty.
Well, I was going to guess D anyway, so.
That's a real lockdown tweet there, Kirsty.
Oh, it absolutely is. Just like, oh, yeah, there we go. Same stuff.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll try again later.
The amount of times I've been angry at myself in these 2 weeks for going shopping, going, no, I'll be healthy. I'll be healthy. And then at like 10:30 at night, look in the cupboards, just going, there's nothing in here. I'll have another bowl of cereal.
It'd be good if there was a combination of healthy you and like 10:30 you, I reckon. Yeah. So you could just buy a few snacks in moderation. Yeah, but it's all or nothing, isn't it?
All right, question six. Non-exhaustive list of things that should fuck off. In no particular order. 1, COVID. 2, Jeff Bezos. 3, coriander. 4, spiders. 5, Israel Folau. 6, wraparound sunnies. 7, Eddie Maguire. 8, leaf blowers. 9, Sam Newman. 10, mosquitoes.
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
D.
No, that's another one for Weebeck.
No. Oh, the lines are blurred between D and Kirsty.
Yeah.
I just didn't think there'd be two Kirsties in a row. That's why I was like, I'll go with D now. I thought Josh would be mixing it up, you know?
Yeah, I do mix it up. See, sometimes they're back to back. I can't believe, okay, I agree with 9 of these things, but coriander, what's wrong with coriander?
Oh, coriander's mate, it's so divisive. Like, did you say it's dog shit, Noxie?
Yeah, I agree with you.
No.
Yeah, sick. It's so rank. Like, and I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, it tastes like soap.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it tastes like soap. I think it tastes like shit. Like, I hate it. I hate it to death. And I just can't tolerate it.
So that's the coriander police calling.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone's
talking shit.
Crimes against some bullshit.
Sorry.
Ruins.
Yeah, they were ringing. Yeah, they were ringing my bell. I'm sorry about that. I've sent them on their way. Never mind.
For some reason, Josh, when you said that you agreed with all of them except one, I thought you were going to be really pro wraparound sunnies. Oh. I don't know why. I was like, oh, yeah.
I thought he was going to be like, nah, Israel Folau makes some good points. Yeah. So.
It's a different podcast.
No, like some wraparound Oakleys. I grew up wanting those. I always dreamed of having wraparound Oakley sunnies. Never could afford them. And I'm so glad I didn't.
I got them as a present, as like a 16th birthday present from my parents. But like, because I've got such a wide head, it sort of looked like I was wearing children's sunglasses. So it looked like I was cross-eyed all the time. So it was like a very expensive, stupid thing.
Oakley sunnies and a Billabong jacket were the two things I craved for when I was like in high school. If I had those two, I reckon I wouldn't be doing comedy anymore. I'd been
What did we cooler. Do? Surfing?
I'd have been doing something that's like way cooler than comedy.
I got a website for you if you want to set up a surfing website.
Question 7. If you're trying something new and not immediately good at it, please remember that it's because you have a weak little brain, like a tiny piece of old ham.
Adam.
Kirstie. Yes, Adam.
That's D.
That is D. Yes, a point there for Adam.
That's me. How did you know? Was it the ham reference?
It was the ham and it was the unjustified self-doubt.
This is nice. We should all just go around the circle and say compliments to each other.
I can recognize a tweet as long as it's not Kirstie's tweet.
Yeah.
Minor white noise.
Yeah. All right, question 8. This photo of me from year 9 looks like it's from the author headshot for an editorial article called Why the Free Market Dictates That Everyone Should Stop Fucking My Wife.
Kirstie.
Yes, Kirstie.
I reckon that's Noxie.
That is Noxie, yeah. Point there for Kirstie, yeah.
That's what I looked like. You want to talk about bad glasses? I used to have these little circular glasses that made me look like either like a steampunk villain or like Harry Potter if he like blew on his thumb and his head inflated. It was really bad. And that photo isn't up anymore because the government deleted my Twitter because
that's
I was speaking the truth.
I think you can still find it on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I double posted.
That's where I found it.
Little fucking dork.
Wait, do you need glasses?
Yeah, I got contact lenses in right now.
Ah, okay. Yeah. The cool version of the cool internal glasses.
Try punching these off. I'm immune.
I've never seen you wear glasses, Noxie.
I don't like wearing them because of the steampunk villain glasses that I wore as a child that made me get bullied for the way that I looked with glasses on. They don't make me look smart. They make me look like I'm going to correct the rules of something. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to tell you playing a board game wrong.
He thinks he's cooler than being able to see.
Yeah, I would rather walk into traffic than look a little bit like a guy who wears glasses.
Yeah, Noxie's like, it's actually just a spare space, free parking. It's not, you don't get all the money from the tax. No, that's not how it works.
Yeah, people are looking at me with just as many side eyes, but they're just blurry to me now. So they're still mocking me, but I can't tell who.
All right, question 9. Scott Morrison is going by ScoMo, so it's only fair that Anthony Albanese goes by Anal.
Yeah. Adam.
Kirstie.
Yes, Adam.
Sorry, I reckon it's Schaefer.
You are correct. Yes, it was Schaefer, yes.
I keep forgetting that we're meant to buzz in and not just enjoy each other's jokes.
Yeah, why is this game got to be so competitive, Josh?
It doesn't have to be.
Throw the pen away, mate. Throw the pen away. Just have a nice time.
You know a tweet I liked? You ever seen that tweet?
If that's the podcast, I just get everyone to come in with tweets they've found that they've liked.
Yeah, sex gifts. That's pretty good.
What are you going to say, Schaefer, about this tweet?
Oh, I mean, the moment's passed, but when I tweeted that, I was like, oh, well, this will go viral. I mean, this is perfect for Twitter. Perfect. And I reckon maybe 5 likes, maybe. I was so disappointed with the performance of that tweet.
I can tell you, 23 retweets, 163 likes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You got to turn your notifications back on.
Okay, Well, this is why it's good to do these podcasts. You find out which tweets are actually good.
I'm going to go give it a like now. Retroactive like.
After you get the don't you know.
Thank you.
Bump.
Can we all go back now and retweet it? Because I think it's still up. It's still topical.
Yeah.
You know, he's still in opposition.
I'll make a new Twitter.
Can you make a new Twitter, Adam?
And no one will be following.
Can
me,
you tweet
so
that?
It'll pump up the number, but no one will see it.
Just call it Adam Knox Surfing, and I want to retweet from that.
But have it be a photo of me just with a fake mustache and on a surfboard with a trench coat. No one will know who I am.
And our final question for this first round. On menus, GF means girlfriend. Girlfriend eggs, girlfriend rice, girlfriend cake.
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
D.
You are correct, Michael. That is D, yeah.
Oh, I forgot. I was like, that's a good one. That's sick.
Good one.
Yeah, GF.
Because I also always read it as girlfriend.
Yeah, and like I can't eat gluten, so I'm like a GF, right?
Ah,
great,
nice.
great bit. Nice. Oh. No one appreciates that.
Not to like lean too hard into the glasses guy. I'm trying to fool everyone into thinking that I'm not by wearing contact lenses because cool people have fresh, exposed eyes. But here's a glasses guy thing. I still, to this day, there was a game I played when I was like 9 years old called Final Fantasy VIII, and it had these demons you could summon. They were called Guardian Forces, and it shorted them to GF. So every time someone even writes girlfriend or gluten-free, I read it as Guardian Force. To this day, it's a magical world I get to live in.
Josh, I hope you have a lot of incels listening to this podcast, yeah, because they're going to love this episode.
People can play video games and fuck. It is hypothetically possible to do. You can pull it off.
At the end of the first round, the scores are Adam and D, you're on 2 points, but on 3 points are both Kirsty and Michael.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, 1 point difference.
Only 1 point.
Like, it's all right. It's all about attitude.
We're fucked, D.
Okay, well, all right. I take it back. I hate myself. Everything sucks.
That's better.
Now, this round is called We Are Family. Now, this round, we talk about families. And today, we're meeting the Knoxes. Now, when Adam was 5 years old, he moved from the UK with his family to Australia. But what happened to Adam when he first arrived in the country that made him feel like a true blue Aussie? Was it A, his whole family bought Akubra hats from the airport, wore them as they were waiting for their taxi, only for a large group of drunken men to come over and say, "Nice hats, dickheads." They took Adam's dad's hat off his head and flung it like a frisbee. That's A. Oh. B, the family went straight to the beach where Adam's mum got stung by a jellyfish, and as they were walking back to the car, a seagull swooped and stole a sandwich out of Adam's hand. That was the one and only time his whole family went to the beach together. Or C, they went to the zoo and Adam, while he was at the zoo, got punched in the face by a kangaroo. Now, one of these is real. You can ask him as many questions as you want, but bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets your point. You don't have to answer all together. You can answer A, B, or C individually. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are you okay?
Look, I've done a lot of work since. I think how clear I've made it that the glasses make me feel judged makes it pretty plain that I've still got some stuff to work through, but my family is fine.
Noted. Thank you.
Did the kangaroo punch you because you were wearing glasses?
I think the kangaroo thought I was a nerd. Nah, the kangaroo punched me because I had like, this is like 94 or something when we came over to Australia. I was like 5-ish. And, They still had zoos and wildlife places back then where you could like feed the animals. So I had those little tiny pellets that you used to get in a little paper bag, and I was feeding the kangaroo pellets. And I guess it thought I wasn't feeding it quick enough, or it thought, fuck these pellets. And it punched me in the face. It was lying down and it punched. Not a swipe with the claws, luckily. A full on closed fist punch. And then it spat on me and said, fuck off.
You sure it wasn't like a Queenslander? You're sure it was a kangaroo?
You're lying down, man. You're feeding pellets into his mouth. He's like, fuck off.
Yeah, why were you feeding...
My parents said it was Australian wildlife, so I don't know.
Yeah, but like, why would you feed it when it was lying down? Like, I'd wait for
it to
get up.
I'm not
going to
chase after a kangaroo that's standing up. When I'm hungry, I lie down for about 4 hours before I do anything about it. So I thought that's what the kangaroo was doing.
All right, the lying down thing's weird.
When the bully threw your dad's hat, did he cry like a little bitch?
No, the bully was laughing. The bully didn't cry at all. Yeah, no, my dad did cry. Thank you for... No, my dad got really angry and... was like gonna fight him, but we're in an airport and stuff, so it was
he was gonna fight him. So your dad's violent.
My dad's from Liverpool and he hates
that's why he made you get the John Lennon glasses.
He's Ringo Starr.
My dad I thought the Akubra hats were stupid too. I remember this because, you know, I was like five, but we got off the thing and my one didn't fit me. But, we went out there and the guy was like, fucking, he had some problem, like, not to get too detailed into it, seeing as, you know, there's a comedy, but he had, I believe, a problem with the concept of immigration. And if he doesn't like immigrants who are even from the UK, which is where, you know, genetically, I believe he was from, through very little distance, he really fucking hated immigration. To the point, but like he had that negative aspect to his personality, but also the fun loving aspect of like, but frisbees are fun. And he took my dad's hat off and threw it. He flung it. It went into the multi-story car park that's in the Melbourne airport. and it could be there to this day.
I don't but your know dad didn't
immigration
fight
and hanging out at the airport though. That's like,
yeah. I mean, I guess if you
not
if
a good
you
combination.
You know
trouble.
How you like bite an ulcer if you don't like
yeah.
it. Maybe he's just got to go down there and be like, oh, it's still coming. What? Every day.
I kind of respect that because I always feel like people who hate immigration are racist, but he's clearly not a racist. He just hates immigrants in the literal definition of what an immigrant is, which I think is quite beautiful to share the hate out towards white immigrants as well. It's very rare to see, and I think that's quite progressive.
I think so too. He didn't even hate that we weren't adopting the culture because we were walking out there with a Kubra hats on.
Yeah.
We couldn't have been more what he thinks Australian means. But
yeah, right.
he took umbrage to it. Or he was just like a hat fan and he's like, get bowlers.
Yeah. And that Noxy... man grew up to be Peter Dutton.
Uh-huh.
Noxy, which beach did you go to and what was in the sandwich that the seagull stole?
Well, we actually, when we first came to Australia, we landed in Sydney. So the thing about the Melbourne Airport car park was a lie. But the... the land we but that did happen at Melbourne Airport, but also we came to Sydney, so who knows which one is true. I'm fucking running a ring around you.
You're anyway, a really we went good to liar Sydney,
and we went to some beach there. I was five and I don't remember which beach, but it was like 22 degrees or something. It was not a particularly warm Australian day, but for a bunch of people fresh off the boat from England, we went down to the beach. And yeah, my mum like almost immediately got stung by just a small jellyfish thing, not like a blue bottle or whatever, because she's alive to this day. And yeah, that was pretty like she got out of the water and we all did obviously then. And then I was eating a little like cheese and ham sandwich on the beach, cutting the little triangles. And we've got seagulls in England, so I should have known better. But a seagull flew down and took it off me. And he might still have it to this day.
What a web of lies you've woven. I bet you don't even need glasses and you are Adam Knox's surfer.
I'm not even a dork.
Yeah, I'm quite furious at the idea. Like, I feel quite betrayed that you've lied to us.
I've lied twice out of three.
Yeah, yeah. So
most of what I say is lies. You can't trust a word I say, D.
It's upsetting.
Which one are you leaning towards? I'll go to you, Schaefer, first. Which one do you think is the truth? A, B, or C?
I reckon the Akubra story is... I reckon that's the true one.
You reckon Akubra. Okay, D, what do you think?
I'll go Seagull.
Seagull? And Kirsty Wiebeck?
Oh, I'm panic choosing. I'm going to go C, just to make it interesting.
Well, good plan, Kirsty, because that is the right one. C, he got punched in the face by a kangaroo.
Yeah, there's video footage of it as well. My parents were filming me at the time.
Yeah.
We never sent it into funniest home videos
or
anything
say,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, almost won a JVC video camera. Like.
I know. I could have had a VHS copy of GoldenEye.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores. D, you're still on 2 points. Michael, you're still on 3 points. Wiebeck, you're on 4 points. And also on 4 points is Adam.
Oh, wow. Noxy. He's back. Creeping up.
I'm going to win.
So this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about someone else on the panel. Everything's true. You say yeah. If this is a lie, you'll say nah. You get a point if you get it right. You get a point if you get it to the person who the story may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So bear in mind, they want you to get it wrong. So here we go. To Adam. Mm-hmm. Now, when Kirsty was in primary school, her favourite thing to do was to soak paper in tea and burn the edges so it looked all old-timey. She did this for every take-home assignment, so much so that her teacher, during parent-teacher night, requested to her parents that she stop doing this because it wasn't appropriate to be doing that with a maths worksheet. Yeah or nah?
I reckon yeah.
That's so cute.
Oh, nah, I just already, nah. I already know. But I can ask you questions. What's your favourite thing about the thing I definitely know you love, which is to put paper into tea and shit and make it look like a pirate?
I love that that's like my entire brand. Yeah. Like that's the only thing that everyone can say about me is that she loves making shit look old.
I've seen your jokes.
I reckon my favourite bit's the burning of the edges on the stove. And I always used to do it on the stove as well. There was always carnage in the kitchen. But yeah. I got pretty good at putting out the spot fires. But it's a burning. Like the tea, sure, it's a due process. But the burning, invigorating.
Yeah.
Why don't you just cut out the middleman?
That's what your dad
and...
was trying to do to you. Just trying to make you look older.
Yeah.
Burning around dipped the edges, dipping you in tea.
Dipped him in tea.
Yeah, I think it's definitely true. I honestly, maybe this will be a mistrial, but I'm a detective who's immediately locked up the first person I saw at the scene.
Oh, I have some bad news for you, Adam, because this is not a true story. That is a point there for Kirsty.
I still don't believe you.
I do genuinely really love it, though. Yeah. I'm deeply passionate about it, just not to that extent.
I just like the idea of handing in like just some, like a colouring in, like a piece of paper coloured in, and you've just then covered in tea, burn it, rolled it up like a scroll.
Yeah.
Just cute. All right, so I'll point
every
there to
single Kirsty. Thing.
All right, now to Kirsty. Now, when Dee was young, her mother was very open and very factual about teaching Dee about bodies and reproduction. Because of this knowledge, Dee once made a girl in her class furious when she corrected the girl after the girl said that sex is when a man pees on a woman. Yeah or nah?
What was your correction? Like, what did you say?
Do you want me to tell you how babies are made?
Yes. Yes, I was using this opportunity to grow.
I don't have my diagrams handy. But my correction, I don't remember the exact language I used, but I was like very angry at her as well. Because I was like, no, the penis goes inside. It's not pee. Mm. And there's no peeing on a lady. I was like, you guys are so immature. And I was like 9 or something.
I'm sorry, Dee, I'm just going to have to write this down. One second.
Yeah.
It's funny the misunderstandings you have as a child where you can think that sex isn't peeing on someone. When you become older, you start to realise, it can be.
It can be, can be.
Maybe she was quite advanced, this friend.
This kid That's was true. Just like, fucking, someone should check.
I love how this girl was like making a cry for help and Dee was like, no, you don't understand what sex is.
Yeah, I was like, you're just an idiot. She's like on her way to the school psychologist. I'm like, nah, she's just an idiot.
Don't believe her. She's a liar.
It's grim.
We needed you at my school, Dee. You would have solved a lot of shit. I'm going to say, I want to say yeah, and it's just based on a gut feeling.
Kirsty, you are correct. This is a true story. Yeah, point there for Kirsty. Yeah.
Yeah, good on you,
Dee. I knew all about
your little ripper.
And stuff. Yes, me.
Can I just throw something in about my sex education at school, which is particularly bizarre? So in years 7 and 8 at my school, Mount Scopus College, you do a program called the bilingual program where you learn everything in Hebrew. So like we did science in Hebrew, maths in Hebrew, only English was in English, but everything else was in Hebrew. And as a result, because sex ed fell under science, we did sex education in Hebrew in fluent, and we weren't fluent enough in Hebrew to understand at all what was going on. So the gaps in my knowledge are quite tremendous.
I wish they'd done English in Hebrew as well.
Yeah.
It's really fuck with you.
All right, so Kirsty, you got a point now. To Dee. Now, Schaefer recently did a Zoom gig that was organised by the Israeli government. 2 days after the gig, they went to war with Hamas, and Michael hasn't been paid yet, and he's wondering if he will... seeing as he thinks his emails might not be the Israeli government's top priority at the minute. Yeah or nah?
Wow, I feel like I got thrown a real tough one, but that's fine.
You can play this two ways. You can see is this something that happened to Michael, or is this something that I would write a question about? That's just a suggestion how you might want to play this
one. So you did a Zoom gig. It was like a stand-up gig.
Yeah, it was. They asked me to do like 15 minutes of stand-up comedy. It was for it's part of like their Jewish outreach program for like Jewish people around the world. So there was like some Israelis there, some Australians, some Americans, and me doing comedy over Zoom.
And so people were all in different locations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So different time zones.
And problem with this as well. Sorry to interrupt, but like even if they don't pay you, because of your sex education, you won't know how to tell them to go fuck themselves in Hebrew. I'm really
worried. Don't they know you are the ducks
of
the school? Like, I think you should get a priority for that.
It's in my email signature sign off, so I think they do know.
You've got your ATAR, so it's like, Michael Schaefer, comedian, writer, 8-star score. That's
But it's really hard to follow up because, you know, I'm sure we've all been there. You've really had to follow up an invoice at the best of times. Mm. Even more challenging when you know they're in the middle of a war. You know, like I know that they've got more important things at the moment going on. So it's just hard to word that email. You know, like, hi, Israel, yeah. I hope this email finds you well. Like, I don't know how to start. So,
hey, no rush on this. Just wondering when you think payment's going to be.
Yeah. No worries if not. Like, so far.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to say no worries if not, otherwise.
Yeah, no worries if not. Aggressive. Yeah, dear Israel, no worries if not.
I reckon this is a yeah.
D, if you get this right. Absolutely a yeah. Yeah, this is yeah.
Yes. D, I was going to say, if you get this right, you get a point and you get to come to Craigie Burn still with Knox and I.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Things are looking up for me.
Does that mean that technically the American government owes you money, Schaefer? Is that how that works?
But what's great is that I owe American government money from where
take it out of the debt. Yeah.
I think we should just call it even at this stage.
All right, now to Schaefer. Now, one Christmas, Adam got his dad in a fight with another dad because Adam accidentally sunk another kid's brand new toy boat in the lake. Yeah or nah?
Okay, how old were you, Adam?
Maybe 10, about 10 years old. However, the exact right age for a kid to be very excited about a remote control boat.
Okay, I'm glad you didn't do the hat joke of, no, I was 28.
Last year!
That happened last Christmas. All right, good one, Noxie.
Christmas in July, the now, yesterday.
And then I got off the bus.
Yeah!
Okay, so you're around 10 years old, and where are you? What, you're having like Christmas with another family?
No, it was just us, and we went down to the Frankston Botanic Gardens to sail the boats around because there's like a sort of little lakey, cocky thing there, and we were floating it around in the creek. It's like a pond. What do you call a small, body of water?
And so someone else had gotten
a similar boat for their Christmas thing, but theirs had gotten stuck in the middle of the lake. So I was like, oh, I'll help you get your boat, and tried to like kind of nudge it over to the edge of the thing. And then, the boat sank and the dads got into an argument between dads. And I think the other dad ended up getting naked and going into the pond.
Getting naked.
Yeah, he didn't want to get his pants wet. It's Christmas.
I didn't think this was true until you added that detail, and now I believe this is definitely correct. This is
definitely
happened.
Yeah?
My dad had a big spanner.
No, I'm
going to
say no.
I reckon
it's definitely a lie. Definitely a lie. It's got to be a lie.
Michael, you are incorrect. This is actually a true story.
Yeah.
What?
Even the nudity?
My dad went to the boot and got the big wrench so that he could be like, listen, dad.
Dads are so weird.
Man, dads are crazy.
Hey, we have a lot on our mind, okay?
Yeah.
Keep that up. We'll turn this around. We'll go back to the start.
You got to turn that head of yours right around.
Yeah. My dad's not actually that vibe. Like, it was meant to de-escalate the situation.
Oh, yeah. I find threatening someone with a wrench is a way to de-escalate stuff.
Yeah.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores. D and Michael, you're both still on 3 points. Adam, you're on 5 points, but in the lead on 6 points now. It's Kirstie Wiebeck.
I'm coming to get you, Kirsty.
Don't you dare.
Nah, I'm going to break lockdown rules. I'm going to smash your window.
Are you going to come over with a wrench?
Yeah.
This is our final round. It's called Who, 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 Who. In this round, each of you are given, like, there's 10 questions, not each of you. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about all of you. If you know who it is, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get right, a point off if you get wrong. Only round you can lose points.
Oh, no.
So here we go. Question one. Who here was sacked from the cheesecake shop due to absolute nepotism?
Michael. Adam.
Yes, Adam. I heard Adam first.
Shit. Kirstie.
You are correct. It was Kirstie, yes.
Thank God. I was going to guess Michael until he also...
I was going to guess you until you said
we
too.
Pulled each other's guns out, and then I went for the last second over for Kirstie, who wasn't even in the gun battle to begin with.
And you didn't even think it was Dee, who knows the difference between pumpkin and cheese?
The fruity over here.
Here you go, a beautiful pumpkin cake.
So how come you got sacked, Kirsty?
Because I was the cleaner, and also I had casual shifts, and also the manager's children also had casual shifts cleaning there. And so essentially she wanted them to have extra shifts. So at the end of my shift each night, she'd stay a little bit longer and she'd go around and like dirty the stuff that I'd already cleaned. And then eventually they sacked me, and then her kids, who I went to school with, got to have the shifts.
Whoa.
Oh. That's some shit. Psycho shit.
Going around dirtying the stuff that's just been cleaned. Like,
yeah.
Surely just put money from the till in your bag. That's an easier way to get someone fired. Like then.
Yeah, and then I could have had some cold hard cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, question two: who here is obsessed with fontanelles? Fontanelles.
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
D.
Yes, you are correct, Adam.
Because Dee was the only person who didn't look like she was trying to figure out what a fontanelle is.
my
I was going to ask for some time for us to all Google what a fontanelle was before I answered.
Josh, you know because you've had kids. Well, you have them still, I assume. It's the weird little soft bit because the skull hasn't formed when the baby's born.
It's a little divot, and you can see the blood pump, and it sometimes like goes up and down.
It's disgusting. It is so disgusting. When my sister had her kids, I was like, "Oh, this is nice," you know, like a normal human reaction. But then, like, I kept thinking about the fontanelles, and then I couldn't not see it. And so, when I'd go to visit them, you could see it going da-dun, da-dun, da-dun.
Ooh, da-dun. Bump.
I was like, "That's so fucked." Like, put a little helmet on him or something, so I don't have to think about it.
So how long is there a fontanelle for? Because my girlfriend's sister just had a baby like last week.
Yeah.
Real fresh baby. I wonder if it's got a fontanelle.
Just give it a little smack on the head.
About 3 to 6 months. Just, you know.
Oh, wow.
When you hold it, you'll see in the front of their head, it's softer. Some of them are more protruded. Some are more closed together. But, yeah, it's all there.
I wonder if there's an adult.
I recommend. Don't go digging
who
around.
Who still has one. Do you reckon there's an adult out there who has a soft head?
Yeah, I reckon there is for sure.
That's fine.
I wonder if people are trying at home, like someone didn't know, and they go to push it, and then they just die.
It's like a kill switch, it just instantly deactivates.
When my eldest boy was only 6 weeks old, we were at a wedding, and there was like just a thing of lollies, and so we were holding the child, holding Oliver, and Beck put like lollies on his fontanelle, like a little dip, little jar, and so just ate the lollies out of his skull. Man. It was very cute.
Oh, it's distressing. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having a different reaction to that story than what I think you thought we'd have.
Mate, lollies. Gotta have lollies. All right, question three. Who here once struck up a conversation with Susan from Neighbours because they mistakenly thought she was a friend's mum?
Kirsty.
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
I was just about to say Kirsty, so now I'm going to say D.
No, it was Adam. Point off, Michael.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought she was my friend Fletcher's mum, but she wasn't.
How did she respond? Are you guys friends now?
She was really polite about it and kept walking, but at a brisker pace.
Could be considered a jog.
Yeah, she she did like a polite scream and...
Question four, who here once spent a Mother's Day dinner in a Hungarian takeaway shop because their dad thought they did dine-in, but they absolutely did not do dine-in?
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
Kirsty.
No, that was Michael Schaefer, a point off Adam.
We're all so scared to lose points. We're all like, real scared.
Fuck, I forgot about that bit when I pulled the trigger on saying my name.
It's all right. The listeners don't know you paused. I take all the pauses out.
All right. I think you're bang on. 5 minutes long.
Yeah, you got that right away. That was so it was a true story. So my dad, he called up the Hardy Hungarian, which is on Carlisle Street. Doesn't exist anymore, sadly. It's taken over by it's a pizza joint now. But he called them up and said, "Can we make a booking?" And over the phone, they said, "Okay." And then we turned up, and it turned out it was just a takeaway shop, like a tiny takeaway shop, and they had set up a table clearly specifically for us because my dad had called up and made a book. Like, they must have gone out and got a table and five chairs because that was the only thing
That's
in the
so
shop.
Sweet.
So we sat down and we're having our dinner, and just locals are coming in and like squeezing past this bizarre family of five booked a table on Mother's Day at a Hungarian takeaway shop. And I was so embarrassed, but my parents were like, this is great. They love that. The beef stroganoff, they had a great time.
All right, next question. Who here hasn't cooked in their house for 6 months because they have no idea how the oven works?
Kirsty.
Yes, Kirsty.
D.
You are correct. That was a point there for Kirsty. It was D.
Yeah. I'm too scared now because it's been... my housemates might hear me, actually. Oh. I don't know how to use the oven.
What's complicated about it? What's different?
So much. Oven? It's an old oven.
Okay.
I've even YouTubed old ovens.
Do you want to take your camera over to it and we can help you out? Man.
And I've thrown matches in there. You know,
that's how you do.
Don't do that.
It's really old.
You got a gaslit one.
Yeah, like an old boy. And so I've been pressing the button, just chucking matches in there. But now I have to scoop the matches out because nothing happened.
Hold it up the back in the corner. There'll be a little pilot light. You'll be able to see the gas coming out.
Adam, there's not a pilot light. I've looked into this for 6 months.
I don't know why I'm
offering fine.
Help.
It's fine. I have a microwave and I know how to turn on the stove.
Do your flatmates use it though?
Yeah. Big
can
time.
You just
yeah.
like when they've used it, go, hey, can you just leave that on? I'll chuck mine in.
Or hover behind them while they're turning it on.
Hovering?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm too awkward to ask, I think I might be too awkward to hover. Right.
What if you set up a system of mirrors so that you can see over their shoulder at all times whoever's at the oven from your room?
I love this. Under my door, I've got a mirror that is connected to
exactly.
70 other mirrors.
You just
got to
upskirt the oven and then you'll be able to see what's going on. I don't know why I'm offering you advice either.
No, I really appreciate that. That's the most part. No one else is. It's
but
fine
I didn't
that you guys
that
aren't
question
offering.
Because I thought it might have been me.
I'm still a bit upset that I know for a fact now that your flatmates don't listen to the podcast. So that's fine. Okay.
That's true. I'm sorry.
Which one's your favourite and which one's the least favourite?
She's mouthing. No. All right, next question. Who, at 18, while drunk, got a blood nose in a waterbed, took ages to get up, then vomited and fell down the stairs?
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
Kirsty.
It was Kirsty. Yeah, point there for Adam. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Oh, just trying to get out of a waterbed.
How did you get a blood
funny
nose
enough.
In a waterbed?
No, well, I went home from this party off chops, and then I just got into bed and I just coincidentally got a blood nose.
So you had
and
a waterbed?
Yeah, we had this weird tradition in the Wiebeck family where when you were 16, you were gifted a secondhand waterbed.
The same waterbed between every family member, or did you get a different secondhand waterbed?
Yeah, I was going to say that'd be seventh hand by the time past a
third. No, we all got our own one. So by the time my little sister turned 16, there were 5 waterbeds kicking around in the house.
That is so insane.
I reckon there's got to be I reckon one of your parents read a parenting book that was to keep your kid from sneaking out, get them a waterbed so every time they try to get out of bed, you'll hear them fall to the fucking ground as they clatter out of it. Something like that.
Either that or a beanbag. They'll never be able to escape.
Yeah. Sleep in a cage. They'll never do anything wrong.
So you finally get up, Kirsty, and it was just from being drunk that you vomited?
No, so what happened was
motion sickness.
I was motion sick, and I've also got a bit of an aversion to blood, so I'd clawed my way around the room, with my bloody hands, and then down the hallway. And I was trying to get to the bathroom to sort it out, but I went the wrong way because I was maggot. And then I turned the light on in the lounge, saw all of the blood, and then did a vom, and then slipped on the vom on the tiles and knocked myself out.
Oh, man. Ooh. At this point all your family are trying to come help, but they can't get out of bed. They're all stuck wobbling around in there.
One of them's drowning.
They had to surf their way down the hallway on their waterbeds, and I came to with my mum slapping me on the face trying to wake me up, and my older sister was on the phone to 000 saying I'd been stabbed. because there was so much blood everywhere from me, maggot, clawing my way up the hallway.
Oh, yeah, these bloody handprints on the walls.
Yeah,
so
everywhere.
Scary.
Do you know what happens? Yeah. Like, if you're drunk and you've lost blood, they have to rehydrate you. So luckily there was a water bed right there.
IV, straight to the bed.
Just hook her up to the bed.
Direct line to the bed.
All right, next question. Who here was banned from a hotel due to an incident with gummy bears?
Michael, I need to get a point. I'm going to say D.
No, that was Adam Knox. Point off, Michael.
Ah, damn it.
What is this incident?
We bought a kilo of gummy bears. This was like on schoolies. We did schoolies, me and my friends. And we were 35. we went there. We were like 18. We bought a kilo of gummy bears because they were like cheap somewhere. And we were like, that's funny, but we were wrong. But we took it back to the thing, and there was like a spa there. We're eating gummy bears next to the spa, and someone knocked a whole bag of gummy bears into the spa. So the gummy bears were wet, which gave us the idea: let's throw them into the fan, and then the fan will spray them all over the room, and they'll stick to the walls, and it'll be like a gummy bear room, and it worked.
And you got kicked out.
And then they were like, yeah, there's too many gummy bears on the walls here. Get out.
There's too many. Like, a certain amount is fine.
Yeah. We told you on the way in, 15 gummy bears max. This is way more.
next question. Who here had a walkout during a storytelling gig where the entire audience were senior citizens?
Kirsty.
Yes, Kirsty.
Schaefer.
You are correct. That was Michael Schaefer, yeah.
You can see the pain on his face remembering it.
Whose audience is the elderly? I think it's got to be Shane.
Yeah, I was like, when someone's quite old, it takes a long time as well. You see them going for like 3 minutes.
I was like, well Noxie and I attract younger people.
It was It was
I had all the TikTok teens at my shows because I dance so much.
Yeah, I did this show in like Caulfield a few years ago, and it was just elderly Jewish people who turned up, and it was just died the whole time. And halfway through, I tried some material about Hitler, and then during that material, a woman said, "Don't you have anything else to talk about?" And I didn't, and then she walked out of the gig, and then afterwards, her son came up to me and was like, "I'm very sorry." You know, she
doesn't like Hitler.
All right, question 9. Whose dad's name is Robert, but his Telstra bills come to Arthur Robert because when he was spelling the name out, he said R for Robert.
D.
Yes, D.
Is that Kirsty?
That is Kirsty. Yeah, point there for D. Yes.
That's also not true. My dad's name's Trevor.
I got this from Twitter. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, no, that was somebody's response to my sister who receives mail to sue Hebeck Weebeck. Because she rang up to correct Hebeck to Weebeck. And so they just hyphenated it. And so she gets her insurance to sue Hebeck Weebeck. But
that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Hebeck, no, Weebeck. But somebody responded that. So, yeah, it's still my tweet that it was on.
Yeah. Because I brought this up because, Dee, you told me that people at your work are mispronouncing your name.
Yeah. So this is another, like, too awkward to do anything about something situation, which is like a brain disease that I have, also known as anxiety. And everyone at my work pronounces my name Deidre. Like, apparently that's the traditional Irish way to pronounce it.
Oh,
And I've never corrected anyone. And so they're always saying Deidre. And in team meetings, they go Deidre, and then someone else goes, no, it's pronounced Deidre. and I'm like, thanks. So that's great for me.
Well, you and Mike here need to go into swap works and go, actually, can I just let you know? Deidre and Michael.
Yeah, let's do a parent trap.
No one would be trying so hard to pronounce a traditional Irish name correctly if it weren't for Saoirse Ronan as well. So you need to blame her.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to cyberbully her about this.
Yeah, you should. Hey, Saoirse.
All right. Our final question for the game. Whose car overheated on the freeway? So this person ran into the bushes because they thought that meant that the car was going to blow up.
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
I'm going to say D.
Yeah, oh, you're right. Fuck. That is D. Yes.
That's so funny.
Okay, I was 20 years old and I was. It was the middle of the day. I don't know how cars work, not to be like a cliche, but I've seen films where it happens, right? They overheat and they explode.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And my car was overheating and I drove a Ford Falcon and I could see the heat coming out of out of the front of the car. And I was like, oh shit, my car's going to blow up. So I just pulled over and I ran into the bushes. And hid, crashed with my phone, and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, do I call 000? I didn't know what to do, so I was hiding in a bush, a shrub, and this was the Eastlink Freeway, and at the time it had just been made, and so it was, like, really well-maintained, and they had people that work for the freeway. And after about half an hour of my fear, watching this car waiting for the explosion that never happened, this van came, and these two guys came out who worked for Eastlink, and they said, oh, we're here to rescue you because we got reports that there was this like frightened blonde woman hiding in the bushes. And they were very nice. They also had a big laugh. And so now I realize that that doesn't happen to cars.
No, if it had of though, and they'd have been like, oh no, Dee died in that explosion. You would have just gone like, oh, I guess I've got to go with this. Everyone thinks I died in the explosion.
Yeah.
I just got to pretend I'm dead now. Start a new life.
Just walk the East Link.
That's so funny.
All right, at the end
of
the
game.
I'm
glad you're okay. I'm glad your car didn't explode.
Yes.
Thank you.
At the end of the game, the scores are Michael Schaefer, 2 points. Didri Fidge on 4 points. Adam Knox on 7 points. But our winner on 8 points is Kirsty Wiebeck.
Yay! Yay! Yes! Now,
Kirsty, I think you've won a few of these lately. I think you've been doing
I have, and I'm very competitive.
Now, because you win, you get to promote whatever you want to promote first. Where can people find Kirsty Wiebeck?
You can find me on all social media at Kirsty Wiebeck. I'm a very prolific tweeter, I've been told. And my website, kirstywiebeck.com, also.
And also, you're doing shows around the country. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we can leave this state.
Thank God for you, Josh, because I'm like, that'll do. But yeah, I've got lots of shows coming up. Yeah, I've got my full-length show is heading to Brisbane and the Gold Coast and Sydney and Canberra in the next few months. So all of the details for that are on my social media and my website as well.
Great. Adam Knox, where can people find you?
I want them to listen to three different podcasts. Ooh Spooky is one of them. That's a comedy podcast where we go through this book that has like spooky tales in it, and we say that didn't happen. It's pretty good. There's another one that I wear my glasses for that's about video games called Filthy Casuals. And there's a third one that's starting on Monday where me and Ben Vanell are going and watching every episode of The Sopranos, and we're talking about The Sopranos because that show is still good. And hopefully relevant enough that we're doing it. And that's called Gabagool.
Great title. Love it. I saw that today. Made me laugh a lot.
That's good.
Yeah. Dee, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Figgled, Instagram at Fidge. Just follow my writing and stuff. I've got a piece out tomorrow in The Guardian and next week in the ABC. People like reading dumb shit.
Great. I highly recommend it. And Schaefer, where can people find you?
On social media, Michael Schaefer. I just made a TikTok account, so that's how my mental health is going during lockdown. I'm going to try and get to the Bondi Festival in July. Let's see if they let me in. And then Darwin and Perth as well. So I meant to do a show in Melbourne too in a few weeks, but who knows if that's going to happen.
Great. Hey, a whole bunch of shows, mate. I don't know what's happening with my shows interstate, but, you know, just go to joshhill.com.au. That's where I'll put all the stuff. But I do have one show which I know was absolutely going ahead and not going to be cancelled, which is I'm filming my show Josh Hill Talks at Superdoll Studios on August 4. Tickets are only $12. So come along if you have not seen it, or if you have seen it and want to see it again, just make sure you laugh at all the right spots. So go to joshhill.com.au for the tickets. Thanks, everyone, for being Patreon subscribers. Thanks, everyone, for playing. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.